Well, victory in the house. You can stand together with me. So good to have everybody here, and prayers are for those traveling, vacationing, camping, working, sleeping, skipping. Amen, all of them. It's good to have Janet here with the Cowards. Lord bless her. Amen. So good to have Jesus in this house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you got your Bible, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and the 20th verse. I'll do my very best. We could shout all night. There's enough Holy Ghost in here to have a blowout every service. But we're not saved by blowouts. Amen. I thank God for every time the Spirit of God moves. Amen. But what I'm going to preach about is what's going to save us. Amen. It's good to have some of the loves here. Lord bless them. Amen. They've been coming around quite a bit for some reason here lately, huh? I don't know what's going on. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, the 20th verse. The Bible said, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." So it's saying God by his wisdom allowed the wisdom of this world to not even figure out who he is. But then it said, "But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching." Everybody say, to save. To save them that believe. Amen. That's why we're here. We want to be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. We could have seen your outfit by looking at Instagram probably, or we could have seen your new shoes or your new dog or how big the fish you caught was by creeping on your pages. Amen. But we come to church for a different reason. Amen. We want to be saved. Amen. I want to preach from this title the Lord gave me yesterday, and I knew I would be preaching, even though I don't even have a voice, really. It's a miracle I'm even talking right now. But God's helping me. But I want to preach from this title, "If God Chose Preaching, Give It a Chance." Come on. If God chose it, I think we ought to give it a chance. Come on, set your Bibles down and lift your hands and your voices to the Lord. Come on, all across this house, I need you to cry out to Jesus. Hallelujah, in the name that is above every name. Hallelujah, we need your help in this house. Change us, God. Change the inside, God. Change the outside. Change what we do. Change what we say, God. Prepare us to meet you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you join with somebody for a moment? Hallelujah. God's going to help some people in this house. Come on, in the name that is above every name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, let's clap our hands now to the Lord together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. I want to preach from this title, "If God," everybody say, "If God Chose Preaching." Don't you think we ought to give it a chance? Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost moving in this house. If God chose preaching, that ought to be your favorite part of the service. If God chose preaching to save you, you ought to be saying, "Preach as long as you need to." Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. Another version would say, where is the wise man? Where is the expert in the Mosaic law? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made the wisdom of the world foolish? For since in the wisdom of God, the world by its wisdom did not know God, God was pleased, everybody say he was pleased, to save those who believe by the foolishness of preaching. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can I preach to you a little while tonight? Anybody hungry for a little more of the Word of God? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love wonderful music and all the great stuff and all the things in a church that it takes to happen. But I want to tell you, we can do without everything except for the preaching. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things to make it better, but the preaching is what saves us. Hallelujah. I'm going to help somebody in this house. You're waiting for the right song, and God's waiting for the right message. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Preaching is used in the Bible as a word that would mean the same as a herald, an H-E-R-A-L-D, or a town crier. These are things, words we're not used to, but these two heralds and town criers are people who were not just speaking to one person or two people, but the town crier, when he came through the town, he had a very important message for everybody. Amen. If we ever get to the point where it's our four and no more, and we don't care, and we don't want nobody else to repent, and we're going to run like Jonah and try to hide it and keep it away, we're not doing the will of God. The Bible said the preaching is the town crier. I believe everybody, every time you walk into Walmart, ought to know who you are and what you believe and what you stand for. They ought to know you love Jesus. Man, the town crier and the herald, their message was something that was very important. Everybody say very important. Amen. When something gets important, it brings emotion to the one who is carrying the load. Amen. If you've ever seen anybody that was in a car accident, maybe even the shyest person around becomes hysterical and their voice is raised and they began to do things they normally wouldn't do. When you see a mama looking at her baby about to fall off something, maybe it's a shy mama, one that don't lift her voice, but when she senses danger, amen, all of a sudden you're going to figure out she's got big lungs. Amen, why do you need big lungs? Because we got something big called eternity. Amen, that's right around the corner. Amen, it ain't time to just pitter-patter with Jesus. It's time to cry out in the marketplace. It's time to cry out in the temple. It's time to cry out on the job site. It's time to let people know Jesus is coming. Because of this emotion from the message that the town crier would be burdened with, they would begin to shout their message very loudly. Amen. Why would they shout their message loudly as they went down through the roads of the city? It was because they didn't want anybody to not hear the message that they needed to preach or tell. Amen. I believe everybody needs to hear. Praise God. Isaiah 52 and 8. God would say, thy watchman shall lift up the voice. Amen. The watchman has got to lift up his voice. Amen. It's just natural human behavior. When someone is speaking monotone, it's hard to lose the focus on what they're even saying, but when somebody begins to lift up their voice or scream or holler, it gets everybody's attention. Amen. I believe we got something that's worth getting everybody's attention. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's praise the Lord. There would be other places like Isaiah 58 and 1 that God would say, cry aloud. Everybody say, cry aloud. He said, spare not. What is he talking about? Spare not. Maybe spare not their eardrums. I don't know. Amen. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. God saying, I don't want my gospel to just be a little whisper. God's being good to me. Oh, no, he said, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. God don't want a weak sound. He don't want a weak gospel. He wants somebody that'll stand up and proclaim it. Hey, this is important. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If God chose preaching, we need to give it a chance. He said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. Amen. I could understand somebody living in sin, not liking it. Shout it out, because the louder it is, the more uncomfortable it gets. Amen. When the preacher begins to preach down your city street, amen, where you're living, your attitude, your perversion, your addiction, amen, the loud preaching gets obnoxious to somebody that it's after them. Hey, but you know what I say, preacher? Hey, if it feels good or it hurts, preach it to me. Preach it loud enough my children to hear it. Preach it loud enough my grandparents to hear it. Preach the word. Man, the word of God would demand that we cry aloud. It was over and over that he would say, cry aloud, lift your voice, preach. Amen. Thank God for people that are not ashamed to tell the truth. Hallelujah. I've seen people who wanted to hide in some type of bubble and act like they weren't changed and they weren't spirit-filled and they tried to fit in. Amen. But you're not going to fit in this world. And if you do, you're carnal and you ain't going to fit in the church. You got to make up your mind where you want to fit in. I want to fit in the kingdom of God. I want to be what he called me to be. Hallelujah. Preaching should always be the conveyance of a message from God. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been places before where I felt like it was just a bunch of rambling. Maybe I was off and maybe it wasn't right. But I believe that the preaching of the word ought to convey a timely message from God. Amen. It's not what we want to preach, not what we would like to preach all the time, but it's what the Lord wants us to preach. I could describe preaching like this. You walk into the throne room of God and you get a scroll, you get a message, and you begin to walk out of the throne room to the place you're going to deliver the message to the one that it is addressed to. Amen. And you began your journey with this heavy burden of something that you have to preach. Sometimes you know who it's for. A lot of times you don't know who it's for, but all you know is that you've got to take the message and you've got to give it to the people. Amen. We have got to have the preached word of God. You know what scares me about people cutting out Sunday night church and Wednesday night church? You've cut out two opportunities for God to give you a saving message. Hey, I don't want to cut church. I want more church. I want more powerful church. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord and let's praise Him. In this attempt to deliver this scroll, I could just say it like that, you are encountered with tremendous pressure. Amen. Be careful what you wish for. Amen. You don't want to be a carrier of the Word of God and stand behind a pulpit unless God wants you to. Hallelujah. Amen. But you, when you take the scroll, you take the message, you are encountered with a tremendous pressure from God. I would call it a burden. Amen. I've had people say during worship service, and I've had them come up to me and say, "Are you okay?" I'm perfectly fine. I'm just in a zone, and I've got something on me, and I may not be able to think about what everybody's wearing and what they're doing. And hey, if I walk by you and I don't shake your hand, it's not because I don't love you. My mind may be 1,000 miles away, and I got a 1,000-pound burden on my shoulder, and I'm praying, God, I'm ready to preach the word. I'm ready to help somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. And not only do you have this pressure from God, this enormous burden to deliver the word of God, but you also get pressure from the enemy who does not want the scroll to be delivered. If you wondered who comes to church, everybody comes to church. Good people, bad people, and the devil come to church. Hey man, the devil has one thing on his mind. I want to stop the preaching of the word of God. He don't care what they sing. He don't care if you run the aisles. He don't care if you jump up and down and burn all your energy out. But he does not want you to hear a saving word that'll change your life. Hey. Hallelujah. So if the pressure is coming from God and the pressure is coming from the enemy at the same time, you know that that's a very important moment. You know, you should know. Well, I'm going to preach it to you right now. Amen. When spiritual warfare is going on, it's not a time to go to the bathroom or go talk to somebody or shoot the breeze or look at Facebook. You need to get it in your spirit. Hey, God's got something for me. And the devil don't want me to hear it. Hey. I think about those horses that run races. Amen. The important part of the horse is the blinders. Amen. It don't matter how strong and fast they are. If you get distracted with what's going on the right or the left, something's going to pass you by. And you're going to end up losing when you could have won. I pray, God, help us to just focus. Put our eyes on a city whose builder and maker is God. Nothing else matters. Well, you don't know what they said about me. It don't matter what they said about you. You don't know what they did to me. It don't matter what they did to you. All that matters is we make heaven our home. Such enormous pressure that I have worn a continuous glucose monitor before. I woke up on a Sunday morning and not eat a bite, and sugar be really pretty good for somebody like me. Amen. And when I began to preach, and it's such a battle. I hope you're going to help me tonight. I hope you know I'm giving you my life. Amen. And I can watch the glucose monitor go off the charts. Amen. Because there's a war going on in my body. There's a God that's behind me pushing me, saying, preach it. And there's an enemy coming against me saying, hey, don't say that. Don't do that. Back up. I want to tell you, carrying a burden will take a toll on you. Amen. Carrying the work of the Lord may put some scars on your body. Paul said, I bear the scars. He said, I've been beaten. I've been imprisoned. I've been shipwrecked. If you do something for God, you're going to get a little rough seas every now and then. But you got to make up your mind. Hey, I'm either going to proclaim it or hang it up. I'm here to say we need to proclaim the word of God, whatever happens. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, the devil's a liar. There's an element to preaching that the Bible would describe as foolishness. Foolishness is a word that means silly. It means if you're, amen, y'all may not be allowed to say this, but it means stupid. If your mom and daddy told you don't say that, don't say that. I'm telling you the definition of what foolishness is. It's silly. It's stupid. Sometimes it means tasteless. And to carnal people, preaching is annoying. To carnal people, preaching is obnoxious. And the reason it is because they don't understand what's going on. But if God chose preaching to save us. Now hang on, can I reason together with you? If what God chose to save you by makes you aggravated, you're not where you need to be, my friend. If preaching annoys you, you need to get your spirit right. Because the Bible said, by the foolishness of preaching, God chose it. Hallelujah. When you learn how to pray, God, don't give me what I want. This is the basics of living for God, is God, don't give me what I want. Give me what I need. Come on. If the preaching begins to get under my saddle, there's just something under my saddle. And I need to unstrap it and re-strap it and clean it up. And come on, I'm going to preach to you a little while. Preaching ain't to hurt you. It is to save you. And if it irritates you, you need to change. Amen. Accepting and believing preaching will save you. But the rejection of preaching will cause you to be lost. Matthew 11:1, the Bible said, it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to, everybody say, to teach and to preach in their cities. Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You can't just say, well, if you'll just slow down, this is what a man told me one time. You just need a chalkboard and a piece of chalk in every service. You need to sit there and just teach people Greek. Well, praise God. There's a time for teaching. I love teaching. This is what it means. Teaching means to hold discourse with others in order to instruct them, to impart instruction, to instill doctrine into one, to explain or expound a thing, to teach one something. Amen. And Jesus and his disciples were both teachers and preachers. Amen. Teachers teach a subject which is good. Amen. Teachers teach a subject which is very much needed. Amen. In the world that we live in. While preaching brings a message to a soul. Teaching teaches a subject, and preaching conveys a message. Amen. You can't say, I just want teaching, I don't want preaching. Amen. The reason you can't say, I like that Sunday morning 20-minute Bible study, and I do too, and I love it, and our guys do a great job. But just as important as that Sunday school is when the preacher gets up at 10:45 or 11 o'clock and he's got a message from God to preach, because preaching is what God chose. Hallelujah. And if God chose it, let's give it a chance. Why does teaching not offend people? Because teaching is not offensive. Praise God. Anybody can teach people the 12 tribes of Israel. Maybe anybody. You could read them and show them. Anybody could. I shouldn't say that. Can I back that up? Amen. Teaching's different. It's instructional. And I pray that while I preach, I teach you something too. I always try to teach while I'm preaching. Amen. Sometimes they call it treaching. I don't know, but I don't know if that's a Bible word. But the disciples and Jesus both taught. He would sit people down and teach them things. And then there was a time to lift up his voice and preach. Amen. Usually teaching don't convict people a whole lot because of the manner of how it's taught. It's very instructional and it could be conviction, but preaching almost always convicts people. Amen. A message from God for a certain period, a time, a certain moment, a lot of times is to correct something that's going the wrong way. Amen. You can't get mad at preaching because it corrects the path that you're on. You ought to say, thank God something's watching where I'm going. Thank God there's some guardrails on this King's Highway to keep me from going too far this way or too far that way. Thank God for the preaching. Amen. Paul would tell Timothy, preach the word. Everybody say, preach the word. This is not capital W. This is a lowercase W. The Greek word is logos. See, I'm teaching right now. Amen. Amen. He was saying, preach the logos. Preach the doctrine you have been taught. Preach the plan. Preach what you have heard. And the interesting thing is that people try to use this to say, well, you just got to read the Bible. That's the only preaching you can do. Well, let me tell you how it used to be. There was not a written word. And Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Well, what is the word if there's not a written word? It's what you've heard. It's your testimony. It's the fact that God broke the chains. It's what your pastor taught you. Come on, it may get tight in here before it's over with. Amen. The only written word at the time that Paul speaks to Timothy and says, preach the word, was Galatians, talking about New Testament, Galatians and 1 Thessalonians. There was no Matthew. There was no Mark. There was no Luke. There was no John. There was no Acts. But God chose preaching to save people. Come on, I'm going to help somebody. When they did not have a New Testament Bible to preach out of, they preached from the drawing board of their own heart. They preached, they exhorted, they rebuked, they taught, they showed, they said, they testified, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Amen. They preached what they had experienced. Amen. Everybody say, God chose preaching. If God chose preaching, give it a chance. Don't be critical of preaching. There's no fear of God in people that would be critical of preaching. Well, you wait till I get home and I get my concordance out. I've had mine out all day long. Amen. If you want to do my notes for me, look stuff up, I'll let you help me. Amen. Don't ever discredit preaching. You'll put your hand on something that'll cause your children to be lost. Oh, I'm going to help somebody. Don't put your hand on preaching when a man, you know what I'm feeling right now. Well, I've done that before and they did me wrong or whatever. Well, hallelujah. There's preachers that do wrong. Did you just figure that out? And guess what? There's saints that do wrong too. And I never gave up on a one of them. 10 years later, I'm still texting backsliders. Hey, it's time to come back to the house of prayer. We got to understand that preaching is vital for our salvation. But we have come to a day where the attitude is, if you can't show me a scripture that says it, I'm not going to do it. If you can't find me a scripture that says it, I'm not going to do it. I got a lot of scriptures. I'm going to tell you, that's a dangerous place to be, where the preacher can't preach to you. Hallelujah. I'm glad God's pushing my back right now. In Acts chapter 2, Simon Peter begins to preach the plan of salvation. He preached, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He preached Acts 2:38. And then he kept on preaching. The Bible said, with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. You know what the interesting thing about it is? When Peter preached, repent and be baptized and be filled with the Holy Ghost, there was not one scripture anywhere written that said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There was not one scripture that said do that, but there was a preacher who had the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and God had given him a message, and he began to preach the message. Come on, it's about to tighten up, I think. Amen, there was not a written word when Peter began to preach it. Amen, and the Bible said he used many other words. I'm talking about stuff that was not even recorded. He preached a long time. And when he preached, the Bible said they that gladly received it. I want to tell you, the attitude, you show me a scripture and I'll do it, you would have been lost as lost could get in the book of Acts. You would have never made it into the church if you never believed preaching. Because long before there was a written word, there was a spoken word of God. And that spoken word of God brought power. Hallelujah. If God chose preaching, let's just do it. Praise God. If God chose it, what would be wrong with just doing it? The group that stood there on that day of Pentecost, when repentance in Jesus' name baptism was preached, the ones that said, well, I've never read that in the law. Who do you think you are to tell us what to do? They didn't get the Holy Ghost. They went back into their dead religion, and they're probably lost right now. But it was the people that were moved by faith. Praise God, all the preachers are standing up and clapping. Hallelujah. You know what that tells me? Amen. I wasn't called to sit here and read the scriptures to you. Every message I preach is based upon scripture, but with many other words. God knows who I am, and he gives me a message, and it's up to me to convey it my hillbilly style. He knows what I am. He knows who I am. And he gives me a word. And he preaches. Oh, yes, the Lord. Praise God. I'm having fun right now. He preached many other words, is what the Bible said. With many other words. That was the title to his message. It wasn't written in scripture. We didn't know what he said. All we know is that they that gladly received it were added unto the church. 3,000 on that day. We're going to come against some spirits of pride. Ain't nobody going to tell me. A lot of people want to hide behind a written word because they don't want anybody to get into where they're living. Well, you can't tell me to get rid of my television. I've never seen a scripture about television. I never read one either, but I read a lot of them that said get rid of the weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. I can preach, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Come on, church. Amen. Don't get so deep in theology that you think you don't need a preacher to preach the word of God to you. Well, I know more Greek than he does. Who cares? I'm not Greek anyway. I'm made in America. That's all I know is English. But I know when God speaks to me, I'm going to give it to you with all my heart. So the group that said, show me that. If you show it to me in writing, I'll do it. That group was lost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Show it to me in writing. Praise God. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will lead you into all truths. That means if you'd yield to something other than your flesh, you'd get direction other than carnality. And you get a prayer life. And you let the Holy Ghost start leading you. The flesh can't lead you anymore. Come on, we need to change drivers is what we need to do. Get the flesh out of the front seat. Put it in the back seat and say, God, you lead this church. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost was poured out in AD 33. The book of Acts was written, some people believe, as early as 60 AD. Some believe as late as 90 AD after the book of Luke. But either way, there was a minimum of 30 years had passed where there was no written Acts 2:38. And yet there was explosive revival in Jerusalem. They turned their cities upside down, not by theology, but by preaching the word. Come on, church. They didn't turn their cities upside down by having choir robes. They turned their cities upside down by preaching what the man of God had preached, by the proofs. Signs and wonders followed the ones that were preaching, yet they did not even have scripture to preach by. Can I help somebody? Can I help somebody today? It was people's response to preaching that either saves them or causes them to be lost. Hey man, I've seen people who couldn't tell you 2 cents about the Bible. They just didn't have a grasp of it. I'm not telling you to not have a grasp. You need a grasp of it. Amen. But you don't need to rely upon your own little walk with God. Like me and Jesus got our own thing going. Amen. That's not the people of God. He said, I'll give you shepherds. I'll give you pastors after my own heart. That'll feed you with knowledge and understanding. I don't care if you read the Bible front to back every day. You still need to hear the preached word of God. Hallelujah. Of course, preaching should never contradict the Bible. And if it does contradict the Bible, it's false preaching. That ought to be the litmus test. Amen. If a man of God prays and he's full of the Holy Ghost, he's been baptized in Jesus' name, and he lives a moral life, and he prays and he prays and he prays and he preaches the word of God, you shouldn't have a critical spirit. Hey, I can understand if somebody's trying to get you to drink Kool-Aid with cyanide in it. But when somebody's trying to get you to come out from among them, when somebody's trying to put your marriage back together, you ought to listen to the preaching. God chose it. Why wouldn't you give something that God chose a chance? I'm sure I'm preaching to somebody on the internet tonight. Amen. So all y'all push share when you get home so more people get to hear it. If somebody's preaching a false doctrine, of course you don't listen to them. Anytime you preach spiritual authority, people want to say, well, what about the people who have a preacher that ain't preaching the truth? If you can't tell the difference between anointed word of God, if you don't know the difference between a hireling and a shepherd, you probably ain't gonna make it anyway. I'm preaching to the sheep right now. If someone is preaching to you that there's 3 persons in the Godhead, you shouldn't listen to that garbage. Because my Bible said Jesus Christ is the express image of the person of God. My Bible said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. My Bible said, Philip, how long have you been with me? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. My Bible said, God was manifest in the flesh. Now, if somebody starts preaching false doctrine. That's not preaching. That's the devil's preacher. But God's got preachers that preach truth. And the truth preachers, God expects you to listen to the preaching and evaluate. If God chose it, we ought at least give it a shot. What do you say? What would it hurt to just try it? I've seen it work. Getting kind of quiet here. Praise God. So, you do need the written word. Thank God for the written word. Thank God for this Bible. Amen. I forgot my Bible at home, and I'm using my study Bible right now up here. But anyway, thank God for the word. But this is a luxury that humanity's only had for a few hundred years. That's why it was called the Dark Ages in the teens centuries. It's because the universal church had the scrolls and they wouldn't let anybody else see it. It's called the Dark Ages. And so I think it was 1488 when John Gutenberg invented the printing press. It changed a lot of stuff. Thank God it caused the Protestant Reformation and a lot of people got a lot smarter about the things of God. But we're not even Protestant. We were before the universal church was ever started. We started in a room in Jerusalem on a day called Pentecost 2,000 years ago. Our roots go deeper. The church has never split. Hypocrites have left and started their own religion. They're still doing it today. That's why there's 43,000 different religions. But Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's only got one church, and the devil can't stop it. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord together. Amen. I enjoyed learning all the stuff and exploring God's Word. I love learning the stuff in the wonderful Bible study, Search for Truth, great things that I needed that enriched my life and helped me to be a better witness. And I'm thankful for everything I've ever learned by just taking this Bible and opening it up and cross-referencing and learning great, wonderful things and the richness in the Word of God. Amen. But I cannot tell you that any little Bible study I've ever seen impacted me even remotely close to what Bishop Joel Holmes impacted my life through the preached word of God. I am who I am, not because I've learned a few Greek words. I am who I am because I have a pastor that's got veto power in my life. I've got a pastor who's got my phone number. And he texts me every now and then. And he calls me every now and then. Still to this day, he tells me things I don't like sometimes. I just say, yes, sir. Praise God. Yes, sir. You're the boss. You know what I figured out a long time ago? When I was in control of my own life, it was a wreck. It was a disaster. But when I finally gave up trying to rule my own life, and I walked through the doors of an apostolic church, and I went to an altar and I did what that preacher said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I did it. And all of a sudden, things began to change in my life. And he said, if you'll go to the house of God and pray with me every day, there's nothing God won't do in your life. And I looked at him like, do you know who you're talking to? I'm a nobody from the other side of the tracks. No, listen to me. If you'll pray every day and you'll live right, God will do anything you ask. And he preached the word to me, and I got a hold of it. And when I began to pray, things began to... doors begin to open. Amen. One day I was mad at somebody. Amen. I was really mad at somebody. Like beat somebody up, man. Amen. And he didn't wait till Tuesday night. He called me, Joel Motes. I've been praying this morning. God told me to call you. He said, let me tell you something. If you let them people make you bitter, you're going to stop up your own well. I got a personal sermon on the telephone. Amen. It impacted my life more than anything I've ever read. I set the phone down and I said, I'm going to do it like he does it. I'm going to do it like my pastor said. I love everybody and everybody loves me. Don't you know they're mad at you? No. Don't tell me that. My pastor said, say it like this. I love everybody, and everybody loves me. Hey, I'm trying to make your blood pressure go down. I'm trying to get you off medicines. I'm trying to get you off of nerve pills. You just wake up every morning and say, I love everybody, and everybody loves me. You won't have all them toxins going through your brain and through your body. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. If God chose preaching, what do you think we'll do? Next door, they fire them all the time when they don't like what they preach. You can't fire me because I set up the corporation. You can get mad and leave, but you can't fire me. Amen. I got a board. Everybody needs a board. I got a board. It's me, my pastor, his son, and Michael Joe Blakely. Now, if those three men think I need to go, I'll go. Praise God. But there ain't gonna be no rich person, no influential person, no gossiping person, no false accuser. I'm gonna preach because God called me to preach you without fear and without favor. All right, y'all believe in preaching? Amen. Put this on the screen, please. Isaiah 50 and 5. Praise God. Thank the Lord. I love Isaiah. It says, the Lord God hath opened mine ear. Praise God. More important than having an eye to see. There's a lot of people can see stuff. Where people struggle is having an ear to hear. This is Jesus, a prophecy of the crucifixion. He said, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious. Oh. See, when I heard the word of God, I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. That means I didn't backslide. Boy, that preaching's too hard. I think there's another church somewhere else that'll let you blah, blah, blah. Let you just coast, float all the way to the lake of fire. I don't want to float to the lake of fire. I want to go upstream. Amen. I want to fight against the wiles of the devil. He said, I gave my back to the smiters. They wanted to beat my back. See, when you've got purpose, go ahead, beat me. I've got something in my life I got to do. He said, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. He said, I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Praise the Lord. This was the prophecy of the crucifixion of Jesus. He said, when I heard it, I was not rebellious. Neither did I turn away my back. I gave my back to the smiters. I took the suffering that went along with it. And I gave my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. Hallelujah. Y'all ready? Amen. I only got a little bit more. But it's really good. He said, I gave my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. To pluck off the hair, you can look it up when you get home. In the original language of Hebrew, it means to make smooth. It means to make bare. It means to polish. It means to be made bald. Praise God. Now Jesus, who knows everything, who knew they were about to pluck the hair off of his face, said, I hid not my face from the shame. Praise the Lord. So what the Bible is telling us, that Jesus went to the cross with a polished face, a bald face. Praise God. Nobody drop a pen. If God chose preaching, praise God, let's give it a chance. Hallelujah. Jesus said, Jesus said, I hid not my face from the shame. What he was saying is, I let my pride go. It was a prideful thing to have all that hair on their face. And he said, I didn't hide my face from that shame. I let them do it. That's why when David's men's beards were cut on one side, David says, just stay gone. Because they said, because we're ashamed. What that means is our pride has been broken. So David said, just stay gone until it grows back. And then come back. But Jesus said, I didn't hide my face. I wasn't rebellious. Boy, sure is quiet in here. I wasn't rebellious. He went to the cross with a bald face. Amen. Well, I love the word of God. Now, I don't know. This is just something that came to me. 3 days later, on the road to Emmaus, two disciples of the company that had been following him for years met him on the road, but they didn't know who he was. The Bible said their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Another version would say, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Amen. The man who had a beard his whole life. I don't know what happened. I'm just using my reasoning skills. He wasn't glowing with light, or they would have known that's Jesus. Yeah. His toes weren't glowing like neon signs, or they would have said, that's Jesus. But it was just a guy. They didn't recognize him. Praise God. Throw that first picture up there. Praise God. I'm just preaching a little while. Y'all said God chose preaching. If you hung around with a guy like this for 3.5 years, and something happens to this guy you don't know about, and you're crying about it, and you're walking down the road, and you see a guy that looks like this. Next picture. Put them side by side. Jesus said, I didn't hide my face from the shame. I humbled myself to the cross. 3 days later, when he come up out of the grave, I'm assuming he still looked just like I look. And if you're used to seeing this guy and you meet this guy at Walmart, you'll never even think this guy is this guy. I can imagine Megan has been in her house and think, who is this guy? I'm not telling you I know for sure, but all I know is he'd come up out of the grave, and the people who had been hanging around him, going to his conferences, sitting down eating bread with him, amen, running around town, traveling from place to place. It was in the company of the disciples. These were people who knew Jesus better than anybody else, and they see this man. They don't even know who he is. They just start talking. He put that collage back up. Praise God for me. He don't look nothing like he looks. Praise God. You know what I got to thinking today? This is what the Lord dealt with me about. He said, "Ye are the light of the world." Do you know the Holy Ghost glow don't come through your fingers? And I've never looked at anybody's toes and thought, my Lord, they got the glory of God on them. I have looked at toes and thought they got the devil on them. Painted up. But I've never seen the glory of God. Wow, them toes, my Lord, they're anointed. But I've seen the Holy Ghost. I just seen it, Maurice. Last Sunday, right before you prayed through, I said, I'm starting to see a Holy Ghost glow over here. 10 minutes later, he's speaking in tongues. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. How could you have a Holy Ghost glow looking like Duck Dynasty? Boy, this is good. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. I don't know why I'm on this, but I had a good, honest man, redneck hillbilly, jump on pigs and stab them in the neck. Just wild. And he came and he got the Holy Ghost. And then he kind of fell back a little bit. And then he prayed back through. And then he fell back a little bit. And he said, Pastor, I got to tell you something. Every time I feel like getting closer to God, I'm wanting to shave my face. And every time I start feeling resentment, like I want to back up, the first thing I want to do is grow that beard again. It ain't me preaching it, honey. It's something down in his spirit that God said, I didn't hide my face. I may be viral before it's over, but I've got methylene blue and horsewormer. I know how to take care of viruses. In other words, I don't care. God called me to preach to this church. Hallelujah. I told a man one day, He come to church and he had a big old thing. And if you're, well, show me the scripture and I'll do it. Thou shalt get a raise. No. God spoke to me. This man was up there. He had a big old, and he said, I want the Holy Ghost. And God spoke to me and said, tell him if he'll shave that face, I'll fill him. He went home and he shaved his face. I don't know how this works. All I know is obedience is better than sacrifice. And he went home and he shaved his face. And he come back and got the Holy Ghost the very next service. Hey, the preaching of the Word of God shakes people. It changes the course of people. Hey, amen. You can stand together, I guess. I'm going to slow down anyway. God chose preaching. Don't get critical of it. Because you'll be in trouble with God. You may be saved, but it always shows up a generation or two later when that rebellion manifests. I'd hate to be the one that caused my grandbabies to be lost. Cause my children to be lost. Preaching's been good to me. It stomped on my toes. It really don't, though, if you want to do right. Praise God. I preach prayer, prayer, prayer. Come pray every day. Not everybody preaches that, but I feel it in my spirit. God spoke to me one day, if you don't pray, something will get you. And I've watched it. The people that are faithful to prayer, it's like they make it through. It's not that things don't get after them, but they make it through. The people that fall into the abyss are the ones that were smarter than the preacher. You don't have to do that. I realize people live long miles away, and I'm not telling everybody from every county you have to be here. I'm not saying that. But I'm talking about what's in your heart. Because I've seen people that lived in the shadow of the church almost. Struggle with going. So it ain't a mileage problem. It ain't a $3 gas problem. It's a heart problem. Hallelujah. Prayer's been really good to me. I preach worship. I preach coming out from among them. I preach holiness. It's all been good to me. You know, and I'm praying, God. And I don't feel like anybody. Listen to me. I don't feel like anybody in this church, I don't believe, is critical of me, I don't think. If you are, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm just going to say you love me and I love you. But you know what? God established a five-fold ministry. There's going to be people come through this church and they ain't going to present it the way you like it the best. Is this okay? There's going to be people walk in this church and they may not even be able to read very well, but they're going to have a word from God. And my prayer is that there's a hunger for the preach word of God. If they're younger than you, if they're older than you, I hope you're still hungry. If their skin is a lot darker than yours, or it's a lot lighter than yours. I feel Jesus backing me up. I feel this burden almost off of me. I hope you walk in saying, Lord, give me a word from you tonight. I'm hungry for the word. Hungry to learn of you. Why don't you all come down here and let's pray for a minute. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, let's cry out to the Lord. Come on, preaching his salvation. Come on, this is God's choice. This is ordained from on high. God, give us the word. God, if I've been hurt in the past, give me the confidence that I can receive your word, God. Come on. Come on, let's cry to God for anything. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Come on, talk to the Lord.
Help me to stand strong.
Come on, search your heart out.
All I want is
God, I want the word.
Don't let me nothing.
I want the word, God.
I won't settle for
speak it to me, God.
But truth that it's best.
Shara.
I refuse to move.
Come on, get preaching a place in your heart right now. God, make a place in my heart for the preached word of God. Come on, God, renew the love in my spirit for the preached word. God, I don't want a critical spirit.